most people have never heard the real story of how Father's Day began. And I want to tell it to you so the memory isn't lost.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
Long ago, in an era that was defined by hard work, to support a family meant to live in the dust of the field and with the steel of the factory. The year was 1907.
Consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance.
In the hills of the town of Monongah, there was a mine. It was treacherous, and to come home at dusk meant a man had worked long to provide. The day's toil was a sacrifice not overlooked by his family. There at the home, the gift of love and respect was given freely.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers.
A minister's daughter felt a deep need to honor the men of the town. There were tears among the crowd as the community joined together with Grace Golden Clayton. You see, the mine at Monongah had been shut down. An accident deep in the mine had claimed the lives of 300 men. In the aftermath, over 1,000 children were left without fathers. In an instant, mothers had become widows. Today has a deep meaning because someone long ago knew the pain of going without a father.
And so it is fitting today that we celebrate in our town because so many of you know how much a father truly means. We will not soon forget their memories nor their sacrifices. May all of us live up to the men who worked the mine.
To those who are listening, I say you have.
Can we have a hand for our fathers? Man, that just sends chills up my spine. We are so blessed to have fathers, our physical fathers, our spiritual fathers. The men that we can count on when times are hard, who will stand by us no matter what the circumstances. And to those who are fathers, it's a difficult job, isn't it? I mean, I can't even comprehend what it would have been like to go into those mines, working 16-hour days with coal dust in your lungs, to wake up every morning knowing that you were going to go to a job where they weren't going to pay you enough, where the money you spent in the company store was going to always cost you more than what you could make. And they would become these indentured servants to make sure that their children had clothes on their back, that they had food in their stomachs. They would work these hard hours in jobs that you know most of them hated to take care and provide for their children. And you know, the truth of the matter is that today it's really not much different, is it? There are many, many in our nation, many fathers who get up early to go to their first job, work for minimum wage or just barely better to gain that income, so that they can provide for their children. They work two jobs. They worry, is my overtime hours going to get cut? Are my hours at one of my jobs going to get cut so that I can't provide the things that my children need? Many, many people in our nation, many fathers in our nation go through this dilemma every day. And they do it. Why? Because they love their families. They will do whatever it takes to care for their families. And being a father isn't just about taking care of your family physically, is it? I mean, that was something that was really driven home in my grandfather's era, that you provide for your family physically. If there's nothing else you do, you make sure you provide for them physically. But we know that fathers were also meant to be spiritual guides. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, Paul says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, a lot of times people look at this, I know I brought it up as a kid, like, "You're exasperating me, Dad." Well, all he was doing was telling me to clean my room. I mean, come on. No, he's not talking, when Paul says don't exasperate your children, he's not talking about don't irritate them, don't make them upset. He's talking about don't nag your kids. If you do that, try and work on that. It's about not nagging your kids. Why do you do that? Why don't you do this? Why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? Why don't you start doing this? Go in there and clean up your room. Don't you know you're supposed to be more godly? Don't you know you're supposed to live your life in this way? What are you thinking? Stop doing that. Stop being that. Start being like this. It's very easy pattern. I mean, I'm not even a dad, you know? And with my baby cousins and stuff, I still had that natural instinct. Stop that! Stop! But what he's telling fathers is guide them in the instruction and the teaching of the Lord. Well, how do we do that? I think you guys all know my favorite quote is from St. Francis Assisi, which he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Our lives are the ultimate gospel. And so for fathers, it's not just about providing physically for children. It's about being a spiritual guide. It's about being someone that your kids can look at and say, "You know what? I want to be just like my dad when I grow up as a son. I want to be a spiritual guide for my family. I want to be a leader. I want to be somebody who is willing to put the Lord first and who's willing to make sacrifices so that God is a priority in his life." For your daughters to look and say, "I'm not settling for anybody less than a man just like my father. I will not settle for an ungodly man. I want somebody who cares for the Lord, who's going to be led by the Lord, somebody who puts that as their priority." Being a father is a hard, hard job. And so we are so thankful for the men in our congregation who do that for us. The men who set examples that we can look to, whether they are our biological fathers or our spiritual fathers, that we know I can look like Tom in his faith and his commitment. That he tells me all the time how the first thing he does when he wakes up is says, "Lord, use me." How I can count on men like Art when I come into difficult situations and go, "How would you handle that? This is nuts." That he'll share his wisdom with me. That I can call Rex at any time and he answers his phone and he helps me to work through the issues that are going on with our church. We have spiritual fathers who we can count on, and we need to be appreciative of that and we need to be thankful for that. You know, when you're a parent, you run into a lot of difficult situations with your kids, don't you? I think every parent knows what I'm talking about when I say you get the phone call, right? For dads, maybe the phone call's from the school, maybe it's from mom, or God forbid, it's the police officer knocking on the door going, "Is that one yours?" Because you're not going to believe what that one just did. Parents end up in situations like that all the time, whether it's just you know, your kid was dancing on the desk at school, or whether it was, you know, for some reason he thought it would be super funny to put a thumbtack on the teacher's chair, or, you know, or all the way up to, we caught him breaking into a house. You know, these situations come up in life, and not being a parent, I've been fortunate not to have to deal with that just yet. But my heart breaks when I think about my mistakes. And I think about how it must have felt for my parents to get a phone call from the high school saying, you're going to need to go to the hospital. Because John just got into a fight and he got thrown through a plate glass window. I can only imagine what it must have felt like for my father, who was in preaching school at the time, hearing, yeah, your boy threw the first punch. He started it, physically started it. The situation was that at our lunchroom, there was this kid that always sat at our table with us, and he always talked trash to me, always running me down, always saying bad stuff about me, always just talking about me. And this day, he crossed that invisible barrier. I had my threshold, and he talked about my mom. Game over. I was so angry and so impulsive as a young man that the only thing I could think was he needs to shut his mouth, and the best way to ensure that it's shut is if I punch him in it. And I regret that deeply, deeply in my heart. I do, and don't do it, young man, okay? You know what I'm saying? Have some self-control. It's not worth it, all right? But the fact of the matter is that when this all went down, my parents did get the phone call. And my dad, furious, you know, he had quite a temper, sat me down and chewed me out. And after he was done, asked me what happened. And I explained the situation to him, told him what had happened and about how the kid had talked about my mom. And my mom was ready to ground me for the rest of my life. Like, you're done. Never leaving the house again. And my dad looked at me and he said, you were wrong. Don't ever do that again. But I understand why you did it. Now, the rule at my school, because there had been some fights, was that if you get into a fight, you get expelled. That's it. You're done. You're out of the school. And my dad went to the school board hearing to talk about me and fought so that all that happened was that I got suspended. He stood up for me. You know, I think most of you know me and my dad are not really on good terms, but he did that for me. He loved me enough that he stood by me, even when I was wrong, even when the very thing that I did was wrong. And I want to talk about a guy today who had a very similar experience by the name of Joash. In Judges chapter 6, verses 28 through 30, it says, in the morning when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished. And we know Baal is a false god. Gone. With the Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, who did this? When they had carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The people of the town demanded Joash, bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Can you imagine the discomfort? Like, for me, my dad just had to go to a board meeting and, you know, go, hey, my kid's not really that bad. He's just made a stupid mistake. These men wanted to kill his son. They're like, Gideon's got to die. He just destroyed the Baal and the Asherah pole. He's got to die. I can't even imagine what it must have been like for Joash standing there with these men. You know, I just kind of picture them with their pitchforks and just ready, you know, like getting ready to storm Frankenstein's castle. You know, they're just furious about this Baal being destroyed. But see, the difference between my dad standing up for me and Joash standing up for Gideon is that Gideon was actually right. He actually did what he was supposed to do. In Judges chapter 6, verses 25 and 26, it says, that same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So you see, Gideon was doing exactly what God told him to do. He followed through with what he was supposed to be doing. And so Joash is in this really, really difficult situation. Now, if you know anything about Gideon, well, you know right away he hid because they couldn't find him. Gideon's like, uh-oh, and he takes off for the hills. If we look back at Gideon a little further, we realize Gideon was kind of a skittish fella. God says, I want you to be the judge of my people. He goes, okay, but can you make the grass dewy and this fleece not? Okay, cool, all right, you are God. But just in case, can you make this fleece dewy and the grass dry? Okay, cool. Oh, you want me to do what? You want me to tear down this altar? Okay, cool, but I'm going to go hide. I'm going to go find someplace quiet to get out of the way. And so if we look at Gideon, you know, we always hear the saying, like father, like son, right? What would you think Joash is going to do? You'd think Joash is probably going to be like, oh, yeah, you sure my son Gideon? My Gideon? No, my Gideon wouldn't do that. It's probably some other Gideon from a different town. It's probably some other Gideon. No, I don't think, well, I don't know. He's not here, guys, so I guess I'll give you a call when he gets back, you know, and he lets me know where he is. I'll maybe give you a call. And we would expect him to kind of be timid, wouldn't we? We would expect him to be just kind of stepping off to the side. But Joash wasn't like that. In Judges chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, it says, but Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. But if Baal really is God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, let Baal contend for him. You see, Joash wasn't timid at all, was he? There was no fear in that man's heart. When they came after his son, and think about this now, we heard from the scriptures that this was Joash's altar to Baal. It was his Asherah pole. So I'm sure these people, when they came knocking on the door, thought, yeah, he's going to be pretty upset too. He's going to want to take care of Gideon as well, going to want to set this situation straight. But what they saw instead was a lion. They saw a man who bravely stood up and stood by his son without flinching. Not only did he say, what, you guys are going to fight for Baal? This is how it's going to be? You guys, you got to fight his battles, you know? But he said, any of you who try to touch my son will not see another morning. You will not live another day if you go after my son. If you think Baal is God, then you let Baal fight his own battles. He didn't cower. He didn't back down. He didn't turn away. He recognized that his son needed to see courage. He recognized that his son needed someone to stand up for him and say, you are not going to hurt my son. I will not allow it. Fathers, I want you to hear this. Your children need to see that in you. They need to know that no matter what they do, no matter where they go, no matter what struggles they go through, that you are going to be there to fight with them, to stand with them, to be strong with them, to help them to grow in the Lord, that you're not going to leave them off to the wayside when they make mistakes, that you will instruct them, you'll teach them truth, you won't allow them to get by with sinful behavior, but that no matter what, you are their father, and that you're there for them, that you love them, and you will support them. And I'm telling you, if you will do that, you will see huge changes in your children. In Judges chapter 6, verses 33 through 35, it says, now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezerites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet with them. Isn't that something? This cowardly young man, who is ducking and dodging at every sight, sees his father stand up courageously, sees his father willing to fight for him, to protect him. And this man who was fearful is now mustering an army. He's getting ready to charge into battle. What kind of impact do you think it would have had if his father hadn't acted that way? What if he'd have sidestepped it? We'll never know. But does this courage happen? Now, we know the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and that the Spirit can lead us to do great things. But we also have to choose to let the Spirit move in us, don't we? We have the blessed Holy Spirit. But if we don't choose to follow the leading of the Spirit, we can't do anything. Joash gave Gideon the courage to do the things that he needed to do, to be brave, to be courageous, to lead the children of Israel. You see, fathers, Joash gives us an example of courage. He gives us an example of what it means to stand firm and strong for your children. And just like Joash, we're not perfect, okay? Only one perfect man ever walked this world, and he's not physically sitting in this room. We'll make mistakes. Should Joash have had the Baals? Of course not. But he knew what was right, and when the time came to show the courage, he showed the courage that he needed. And for us, we have to be willing to be men of God, courageous, standing up for our faith, confident, and guiding our children in the ways that they need to go. Through all this, know that no matter who your father is, biological father, doesn't matter, because you have a courageous father. You have a father that was willing to fight for you. God didn't give up on his children, did he? When Adam and Eve sinned, what did he do? He clothed them. When we as people went astray, he drew us back through his covenant with Moses. And through Jesus Christ, he saved us from our sins. He fiercely fought for us. He was willing to make the sacrifice for us. And God stands today just like Gideon. When those attackers come to the door, when Satan comes accusing, saying, "You are guilty." When Satan brings you to your father's door and says, "Is this yours?" God looks at him and says, "Yes, that one is mine. I've purchased them with my blood, with the blood of my son. They are mine. They belong to me. And no matter what you accuse them of, no matter what you bring against them, they are my child and I love them. They are with me." You have a courageous father who will stand by you no matter what. You have a father who taught us through his son Jesus Christ what it looks like to have courage. Jesus said, "If you know me, then you know the Father." And what did he do? He sat in Gethsemane and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." He walked the hill of Calvary. He was willing to be sacrificed for our sins, and he died without so much as a word of anger or resentment. He stood firmly by us and fiercely took on our sins. You have a courageous father who loves you and fights for you. Don't ever forget that. And fathers, always seek, just as we talked about, seeing my father's eyes in me. Be courageous. Be brave. Be willing to stand up for truth. Don't swerve. Don't let the world guide you astray. Be the leaders that God calls you to be in your family. Be strong in your faith. When the world tells you that you have to accept their culture, that you're a bigot, that you're hateful, do not fold, but be courageous, knowing that the Lord your God is fighting for you. Fight for your families. fight to protect them from our world and the evils that are in it. Our God is there for us. Let's be strong, men, and courageous. Let's live up to the words that the angel said to Gideon, the fearful. Greetings, man of courage, mighty warrior. Let's be mighty. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, on a day like today, where we remember the sacrifices of fathers, we know the ultimate sacrifice that you made, sending your Son. We thank you so much for the fact that you thought so much of us that you were willing to give your greatest gift. We thank you so much that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what struggles, what trials, what we go through, that your love is so great that you take us, you own us, and you courageously defend us. We will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against us, Lord, because you are our God. You are brave. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us as men the courage and strength to be brave, to be confident in our salvation, and to be willing to say, just like the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, you have blessed us deeply, and we thank you so much for who you are. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen.